The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Marvelous singing. You guys did good. Now, there is a reason that the offering is strategically placed before I speak, okay? This is the 31st Easter that Mary and I have celebrated with Shadow Hills. And when I came as the pastor of this church in the mid-1980s, there were some words that we didn't have that we use today very, very commonly. Like in the mid-80s, we didn't have a word called the internet. And in the mid-80s, there was not www.anything, all right? Laptops was not a common term. Email was not a common term. One I thought was kind of curious, MRI, if you've had a magnetic resonance imaging, that wasn't there in the mid-80s. Fiber optics was not a term in the mid-80s. GPS, we operated on God's positioning system, not global. Online shopping, we didn't have that. Social networking, barcodes. Another one that caught me off guard, we didn't have stents. If you've had a stent put in for a heart problem, you didn't have those in the 80s. Digital photography. None of those words were common in the 80s. Now, we did have some words that, thank God, they have disappeared. Like bomb diggity and fantabulous and mall maggots. You know what a mall maggot is? How many of you know what a mall maggot is? Now, some of you were here in the 80s. I can tell by looking at you. You remember these kids that used to go down and just hang out at the mall? That's what they were called, mall maggots. And if you do that today, we're going to revive that term on you, all right? Tinkerbilly. That was a good one. A Tinkerbilly's a hillbilly that wanted to be something more and couldn't make it. But anyway, see, that's why we're glad those words are gone. But while a whole lot has changed in these many years, some things have not changed. As a pastor, I can tell you that the needs of people have not changed. We still have broken hearts and discouragement and disappointment. Our dreams are still dashed. And we hurt. But another thing that has not changed is God's ability to meet those needs. He says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when I come and I think about Easter, I think about the power of God to meet those needs. Consider for a moment what it must have been like for those friends and followers of Jesus on Saturday, having watched Him be crucified. You need to remember, this was their friend. This was the man who had performed miracles. This is the one who had fed the multitudes. This is the one who had healed the sick. He had brought sight to the blind, and He had enabled the lame to be able to walk. And He's dead. They were His friends, and they'd followed Him. I can't imagine the despair that must have been upon them, the devastation and disillusionment. We thought He was the one. The disappointment, we thought He was the Messiah. Saturday, nothing. Silent. You ever had a Saturday in your life when you felt like you just couldn't get anything from God? You couldn't get a word? You thought He was going to help you. You thought it was going to happen. And boy, you just went through that silent Saturday. But then came Sunday. He's alive. Then came Sunday. Can you imagine the surprise they felt when Jesus was raised to life? Easter, the very first Easter. Some days before Jesus was crucified, He was talking to some of the Pharisees. They were arguing with Him about whether He was the Son of God. And Jesus said this, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And if the Son sets you free, now what did he just do there? He went from, if you know the truth will set you free. And then he just says it, if the Son, S-O-N, if the Son sets you free. What he's saying is, I'm the truth. I am the truth. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. What is he talking about? What is he setting me free from? Let's just apply that in three dimensions in the time that remains. Number one, he sets you free from the past that can imprison you. Behavioral scientists tell us that the number one cause of unhappiness comes from being stuck in the past. People who hold on to hurts suffer a tremendous unhappiness because they can't get beyond the past and live in the present. There are two specific things that Jesus says we need to get over, even though these two things are very hard for us to get over. He says, first of all, you need to get over resentment. Now, resentment is nothing more than aggravation over the way people treat me. If you treat me wrong, if you are cruel to me or mean to me or lie about me or disloyal to me, I resent that. I resent the way you have treated me. And that resentment brings in my heart a desire for revenge. I'm hurt, and I'm going to lash out like a cornered animal because I have this resentment. So the first thing Jesus says he can set us free from is resentment from what other people have done to us. And then he says, I can set you free from regret. And regret is what I've done to myself. Regret is what I have created in my own life. And Jesus says, I want to set you free from these two. Let's think about resentment for a moment. Everybody in this building has been hurt. Every one of us have been hurt many, many times. Sometimes we are hurt on purpose, sometimes we are hurt unintentionally, but we have all been hurt, and that hurt brings pain. And if you're not careful, if you embrace that hurt and you keep going over and over that hurt in your heart and in your mind, it becomes a prison. Just ask yourself tonight, is there anything in my life that anyone has done to me that I have not gotten over? Maybe it was an abusive relationship, physically or emotionally or verbally or even sexually. Anything somebody's done to you, rejection or ridicule by parents or friends or a teacher. Have you been betrayed at work and somebody lied about you? Anything in your life you've never gotten beyond. Here's the way to ask it. Is there anybody in my life that tonight I'm holding a grudge against? Is there something that somebody's done out there and I'm still holding the grudge? Jesus says you better be careful because it will create a prison. Isaiah says, forget about what has happened. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new thing I am going to do. God says, don't dwell on the past. Let go of the grudge. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. God says, the past is back there. You can't change it. I'm going to do something new. And we say, well, I'd like to forget it, but I can't. It hurts too bad. It's so difficult. I can't get beyond it. Let me tell you something. If you're saying that right now, you're right. You can't. And that's why Jesus came. You need the power that raised Jesus from the dead to help you get beyond it. God never intended for you to do it on your own. The very fact that we can't do it is why we need Jesus, His supernatural power. I need His love in my heart. I need His life in my life. I'm never going to get free from my past until I have Jesus in my life. And I don't know how you've been hurt, but I do believe God does. And I believe He can help you if you will let Him. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And He saves those whose spirits have been crushed. People say, well, where's God when I hurt? He's right beside you. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's right there with you. He is not distant. Almighty God knows every beat of your heart. He knows every breath that you've taken. He's watched your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And He says, I'm here. I know you're hurting. I love you. And He says, I'll give you the power. The same power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to you to get over that resentment. And then regrets. regrets. Not only does he want us to get beyond the people who've done things to us, he wants us to get beyond the dumb things we've done to ourselves. Because he knows that every one of us have blown it. Every one of us have made a mess of things. We've even been the ones who create resentment in the life of somebody else because we hurt them. And if you live with regret, it's a terrible thing to carry around. It makes you miserable, it saps your energy, and you begin to play the if-only game. If only I had known now or then what I know now. If only I could erase what I said. If only I could change my decision. But you can't. And if you don't know how to deal with those regrets, you just try to bury it. And you can bury it in 1,000 different ways. You can bury it by being a shopaholic or an alcoholic. You can bury it by prescription drugs or illegal drugs. You can bury it by getting busy and immersing yourself in your work so that you are so tired when your head hits the pillow that you just go to sleep because you don't want to lay there and think about what you regret. The beauty of Easter is that God specializes in new beginnings. And that's what Easter is all about. God sent his son Jesus to die for you and me, for every dumb thing we've ever done. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of God's expectation. Because we're selfish, because we're unthoughtful, we're unkind, every one of us are guilty. And Jesus came and died on the cross. Why? To pay the price for our sin. Look what the Bible says. All of us have sinned, and yet God declares us not guilty. Why? If we trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus, who in his mercy freely takes away our sin. How does he take away our sin? He died. He paid the price. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus died in my place. And he gives me life in his place. So he says, I don't have to live with those regrets. I love this passage. Put your heart right. In other words, turn your face to God. Reach out to God. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. And your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. If you're still punishing yourself for the past, if you're living in the prison of the past, Jesus has already paid for it. And this Easter, if you'll turn it over to him, he'll set you free because he specializes in new beginnings. The second thing, Jesus sets you free from the present that can impact you. The present that can impact you. Do you ever feel like your life's out of control? You ever feel like or get tired of thinking about all the things that you have to do? Sure you do. Just fill in the blanks, all right? Everybody clear your throat on the count of three. One, two, three, clear your throat. All right, now fill in the blanks. I'm at the end of my... Oh, God, you sissies. I'm at the end of my... Rope. Okay, some of you are saying, I'm not saying, I don't care. You probably didn't give either. All right. Let's try another one. I'm about to come unglued. Somebody said undone last night, and I said, well, if you're unglued, you're undone. Okay? I'm about ready to throw in the... Good. You guys are getting it. You know why you can fill in the blank? Because you know pressure. We all know this pressure. And in the midst of my pressure, here's what I discover. I need two things. I need strength in my pressure, and I need stability. And Jesus says, I will give you both. In fact, the Bible says God never grows faint or weary. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. God says, I want to give you power. The reason we're worn out is because we're trying to live life in our own power. Let me tell you something, folks, if you haven't discovered it, you were not created to live life in your own power. You are created to live life connected to God. God wants you to have a relationship with him, and he will share his power. I have one of those phones, and it has a battery. And the other day I got to work, and I needed to use my phone, and the battery was dead, and I was angry. Because beside my bed, there's a little white cord that comes up out of the wall that connects to the bottom of my phone, and I knew that I knew that I knew I had connected that cord. But I hadn't. It was close. The cord was close, but it wasn't connected. And that's like sitting in church on Saturday night. You're close, but are you connected? Are you really connected to Him? Because that's where the power comes from. If you're not connected, then your spiritual battery, your emotional battery, your physical battery will get drained. And Jesus came to life on the very first Easter to show you what power is like. He said, let them kill me. Let them put me in the grave. I'm going to take 3 days off. And then I'm going to come back to life to prove to you that I am who I said I am. I am God. And He did, and that's why tomorrow more than 2.2 billion people around this globe will celebrate Easter, the most powerful event in history. Folks, we don't have enough power to make it on our own. That's why we're tired all the time. We need a source that is stronger than we are. So whatever's got you stressed out, whether it's your finances or conflict or your children or your parents, your job or your health, look what Jesus says. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me for real rest, and you'll recover your life and learn to live freely and lightly. That's strength. He also says, I want to give you stability. I want to give you stability. I looked in my Bible this week, and the Bible, 42 different times, compares God to a rock. He is the rock of ages, the eternal rock, the rock of strength, the everlasting rock, the rock of refuge, the rock of my salvation. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Why does God compare Himself to a rock? Because rocks are steady, and rocks are solid, and rocks are strong. And He says, so if you will connect with me, and don't give into the pressure of the world around you, I'll help you. If you crumble easily, God says, come to me and I can give you strength and stability if you'll let me be your rock. The third thing Jesus said is that He'll let us be set free from the pessimism that can impair us. The pessimism. We have lost faith in so much in our country. In fact, since I came to be your pastor, it's kind of like a snowball going downhill. It just gets bigger and bigger what we've lost our faith in. We've lost our faith in our education system. We've lost our faith in our children even being safe at school anymore. We've lost our faith in solid moral values. Is there a real truth? We've lost our faith in the certainty of what is right and wrong. We're not even sure there is a right and wrong, and that's why we use relativism. Well, it might be right for you, but it's wrong for me. It might be right for me, but it's wrong for you. We've lost our confidence. We've lost our confidence in our justice system. We've lost our confidence in our government, the way government works or doesn't work. I was talking to someone just before service started, and I thought about this. We've lost our confidence in the ability to have privacy because of identity theft. If I were to ask you tonight just to make a mental list for tomorrow of all the good things that could happen to you, I mean, just let your mind run wild. I could win the lottery. Well, you got to buy a ticket, okay? So I can't say that when I haven't bought a ticket, but I don't think I could even hope for a long-lost relative to die and leave me $1,000. think I have any of those, but I'm sure there's something. If I thought of it, what good, it would be good for maybe 10,000 people would come. That'd be a good thing tomorrow. Make a list and just go wild. What are the top good things that could happen to you tomorrow? Publisher's Clearinghouse shows up at your door. Now, make a list of the bad things that could happen to you tomorrow. And tell me which list gets the biggest. Because I think I know. Every one of us in here could think of more bad things that can happen to us than good things. Why? Because we've lost our confidence. We've lost our faith in these things. We've lost hope. Why do we lose hope? I saw a definition this week that I thought was so clear, and I'm going to use it. We lose hope when we face situations that need to be changed, but we can't change them. We lose hope when we face something that needs to be changed and we can't change it. It could be marriage. It could be parents saying, I'm watching my kids head off in the wrong direction. I feel hopeless. It could be children saying, I'm watching my parents age and I don't know how to change it and I don't know how to take care of them. It could be a job. It could be finances. Something that I know needs to change, but I just can't make it happen. And when you get to that place, hope begins to drain out of your life. So what do you do? Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I don't know where you go. Think about this for a moment. What does God think about you tonight? You and I were sitting down over coffee and I said, you know, hey, Terry, tell me, what do you think God thinks about you? What would you say? Because I want to tell you what God thinks about you. It's right in the scripture that we used last Sunday. Here's what God thinks about you. You can put your name in there. Michael, I know what I'm planning for you. I have good plans for you. Michael, I have good plans for you, not to hurt you. Michael, I'll give you a hope and a good future. That is what God is thinking about you tonight. That He has a good plan for you. And His hope for you is filled up and overflowing. And what inevitably is going to come into your life, the pain and the heartache and the hurt that comes into your life, there is none of it so big that His plan is going to go bad. His plan is for good. But in order to have that plan, you've got to have some spiritual anchors. Do you have a spiritual anchor? Because this is where it comes from, a relationship to God. Psalm 125, those who trust in the Lord are steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. Those who do what? Trust in the Lord. He's my spiritual anchor. It says one thing you can know for sure, that if you're trusting in the Lord, no matter what happens in your life, there is one thing you can count on. God will never stop loving you. He will never stop having good plans for you because you are made to be known by God and loved by God. It says the mountains and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end, so says the Lord. And we're not talking about religion, we're talking about a relationship. You can be Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or Buddhist or have no religion at all. That's not my concern. My concern is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Not only do you know about Jesus, but you know Jesus. Has there been that time that you have said, Jesus, I believe you came and lived in this world. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin, my mess. I believe that by God's power you were raised from the dead, and I'm asking you to come into my heart to guide me and direct me, to move me, to help me live on this earth and take me home to live with you forever. Because, folks, that's what Easter is about. Not knowing about God, knowing God. And if you've gone through these hard knocks or made some really bad decisions, if you've turned your back on God, the beauty of it is you have not lost your value. You may be scarred and you may be bruised, but you have not lost your value to God. And he says, fresh start. Look what it says. I stand at the door and knock. Now he's talking about the door of your heart. He's saying, I'm knocking on your heart's door. I want to come in. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, it's your choice. Nobody can make you do it. What does he promise? I will come in and fellowship. I will have a relationship with you. And folks, for Easter, that is your choice. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray together. Father, I know that you have offered a relationship with yourself to every one of us. Some have taken advantage of that, some perhaps have not. So I ask, Father, that tonight, as best I know how, I've tried to communicate the difference that you make in our lives, and I pray that you would give each of us the courage to make the wisest decision of our life and open our hearts to you. And now, in your heart, in your mind, let me lead you in a prayer that you can pray to God. Just say, God, thank you for loving me in spite of my faults. Tonight, I realize that a lot of my problem is because I haven't let you be the center of my life, so I need your help. I need your help to let go of the past, my regrets and resentment. I need your strength and stability to handle stress and pressure that I face now. And I'd like your assurance that you're going to be with me no matter what. I accept your free gift of eternal life in heaven. Jesus, I don't understand it, so today, as much as I know how, I open up my heart to you to get to know you and learn to trust you and ask you to meet the deepest needs of my life. And I pray it in your name.
This has been a production of Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.